A 19-year-old kid with a soul patch and bandana glides onto Olympic ice, and suddenly, short track speed skating becomes the hottest ticket in town. Fans tape fake facial hair to their chins. Michelle Kwan waves homemade signs. The president wants a conversation. This wasn't just athletic success. This was cultural alchemy, the rare moment when dedication transforms into something larger than sport itself. But behind the 8 Olympic medals and the celebrity whirlwind lay a more compelling story: how a rebellious teenager spiraling toward gang violence discovered that the opposite of regret isn't victory, it's complete commitment, win or lose. The philosophy sounds simple until you try living it. Going all out means accepting whatever consequences follow. Most of us hedge our bets, leave escape routes, preserve our excuses. We say we want success, but secretly negotiate with mediocrity. Real champions in any field, sports, business, relationships, life, eliminate that negotiation. They arrive at the finish line empty, having left everything on the track. The question isn't whether you'll win, it's whether you'll wonder, what if? At 14, a gang-affiliated kid from Federal Way, Washington, arrived at Lake Placid after his father tracked him down. Coach Pat Wentland's greeting was simple: good luck, as in good luck with this mess. The first month was brutal, homesick, sore, sneaking into pizza places during runs. The nickname Chunky stuck at 12% body fat, while teammates maintained 6 to 8%. Then came the body fat test results, and suddenly the mirror reflection shifted. Others saw raw talent even when self-value was missing. Under Pat's guidance, transformation began. By October, despite a bad fall days before competition, he skated through pain and won, becoming the youngest short track champion in U.S. history at 14. Success launched confusion. Moving to Colorado Springs meant older skaters without personalized coaching. First world championships, 19th place. The immature response, taking the entire summer off before Olympic year, gaining 25 pounds. The 1998 Olympic trials, dead last. His father delivered the lesson that would reshape everything. You have found your passion. Now dedicate your heart and soul to it, then go forward without looking back or holding back. This painful failure became the foundation, teaching that true victory begins with complete commitment, not talent. Enter Dave Creswell, college student studying sports psychology, complete geek who somehow won at badminton despite inferior fitness. During matches, quiet questions. Do you know why you just did that? Annoying at first, then intriguing. Running through Garden of the Gods, Dave introduced visualization, meditation, and breathing exercises. Focusing on breath to stay calm proved crucial for managing extreme pain and fatigue in short track racing. These techniques faced their test at a World Cup event in Hungary against the world's best: Kim Dong-sung, Mark Gagnon, Fabio Carta. In the 1,000-meter final, something clicked. Summer hours studying video had revealed competitors' rhythms and patterns. Reading Fabio's tells, when he went hard, two corner movements followed, enabled an ugly but effective inside pass for first place. The race felt effortless. Time slowed, relaxation and confidence merged. Beating the world's best was possible. The practice deepened: daily meditation, positive affirmations, detailed visualization. Before competitions, sitting in empty arenas visualizing tomorrow's races, creating strategies and full sensory mental images while breathing in strength, releasing anxiety. Mental training became as essential as physical preparation. What separates champions in short track? Pain tolerance determines speed. When athletes respond to pain, technique deteriorates. Learning to view pain as temporary, lactic acid as merely a chemical byproduct, this approach allowed training loads that seemed impossible to others. The goal wasn't avoiding suffering, but transforming it into competitive advantage. Severe flu struck 4 days before competition after standing hours in 19-degree weather at opening ceremonies. Quarantined in a hotel room, recovery came incomplete but sufficient. Overcoming obstacles was part of becoming a champion. The 1,000-meter final executed perfectly, passing Korean skater An Yeon-soo with 2.5 laps remaining. Then chaos erupted. China's Li Jiajin and Jiansu both crashed, taking out Canadian Matthew Turcotte. A 360-degree spin into the boards left a bone-deep gash requiring 6 stitches. Australia's Stephen Bradbury, far behind, coasted to gold, getting up, extending left foot across the line for silver. The 1500-meter final featured Korea's Kim Dong-sung, who'd set an Olympic record in semifinals, with 1.5 laps remaining, moving to second. On the final lap's backstretch, an opening appeared inside. Making the move, Dong-sung shifted left to block, a clear cross-tracking violation, instinctively pulling back to avoid crashing. Dong-sung crossed first and began celebrating. The referee disqualified Dong-sung. Gold. Skating to center ice and kissing it, overwhelmed by the deafening roar. 5 months after 9/11, those cheers felt like they were for all of America, the first American male to win short track gold. That night, Dad slept on the hotel room floor, holding the medal but refusing to put it around his neck. Indescribable pride for a man who'd left Japan 30 years earlier with nothing but faith in hard work. Post-Olympics life exploded with media appearances. Jay Leno's private jet, Today, Dateline, Conan, CNN, MTV, often multiple shows daily. ESPY red carpets, endorsement deals funding Dad's house overlooking the Olympic mountains. People magazine's most beautiful list. Washington's governor declared Apollo Ono Day. At Elton John's Oscar party, Denzel Washington and Halle Berry recognized you immediately. The glamour was intoxicating but hollow. Purpose needed to exist behind attention. The most meaningful moments came from young fans saying you'd changed their lives. Having navigated middle school as a mixed-race kid who didn't fit in, visiting schools became essential. The message, your starting point doesn't determine your destination. Despite Hollywood's allure, the calling remained on ice. The decision surprised many, moving back into the Spartan Olympic Training Center, deliberately storing medals in the sock drawer, training with the hunger of someone who'd accomplished nothing. In 2007, the manager called, Dancing with the Stars. Immediate reaction, this isn't happening. Friends mocked it, you only know how to turn left. But this could let millions see you without helmet and bandana. Paired with 18-year-old Julianne Hough, struggled balancing dance practice with skating competitions. Moments before the first performance, complete mental blackout. With 30 million watching, couldn't remember a single cha-cha step. Relied on Julianne's lead and muscle memory to survive. The breakthrough came when realizing the show deserved the same respect as sport. Week by week, a waltz demonstrating unexpected maturity, a perfect scoring samba, a rumba requiring romantic connection, won the championship on the 25th birthday. Beyond the mirror ball trophy, the true gift was opening emotionally, something no Olympic training could teach. After Dancing with the Stars, the choice was clear. Continue skating, not for money or fame, but for pure love of the journey. Training in Salt Lake City, where the Olympic dream began in 2002, felt like coming full circle. The preparation required something radical, inviting trainer John Schaefer to move in through the Olympics. Despite initial reluctance, he agreed when framed as once in a lifetime. John would control everything: training, eating, rest, recovery, sleep schedule. Complete trust and submission. John's philosophy balanced high-volume training with recovery through 5 components: weights and intervals adjusted daily around ice training, precise nutrition with meals timed to the minute, absolute focus by training when facilities were empty, mental preparation through daily tape review, and recovery, as crucial as training itself. Nutrition transformed completely, from the teenager eating Oreos soaked in milk like cereal to an athlete obsessed with optimal fueling. Candy bowls were deliberately placed in plain sight to train mental discipline. 2 years before Torino, pizza was eliminated, not because it would hurt performance, but to prove mental strength. John's plan built raw strength through intense core work, advancing from 275 to 415 pounds on one-legged squats, eventually leg pressing nearly a ton. Next came severe caloric restriction while maintaining strength. Final phase converted strength to explosive power. Throughout, pushing beyond limits with brutal treadmill intervals, 850 to 900 miles total, often as the third or fourth workout daily. At the first Vancouver practice, everything clicked. The Koreans watched and later told teammates, "You looked powerful, with better technique than ever, lean and intimidating." Before the games, friend Justin Mintel died in a car crash at 27. This reminder that life isn't fair intensified determination to bring everything to these Olympics. Arriving in Vancouver felt like coming full circle, now 27 yourself, back where it all started. In the 1500 meter, moved toward the front early to avoid getting trapped. With two laps left, Seebach wrapped his arm around leg and arm while passing, losing speed as Young Soo sailed past. Entering the final turn, Ho Suk attempted a desperate inside pass, lost his edge, and crashed with Seebach. Jung Soo crossed first, second place secured, JR third, sixth Olympic medal, the winningest short tracker in Olympic history. In the 1,000-meter final, slipped with four laps to go, despite feeling completely in control, rallied to pass both Hamlin brothers in the final lap to claim bronze, seventh Olympic medal, only later discovering Francois had given a small push that caused the slip. The relay looked chaotic with five teams and 20 skaters, taking over with two laps left, squeezing ahead of Koreans into third. On the final turn, Chinese skater Han Jiayang slipped while fighting for position. Canadians crossed first, and in a photo finish for second, Yoongi's right skate crossed about 0.05 of a second before the left, eighth Olympic medal. Being victorious isn't about standing on the podium. It's about effort, emotion, and that never-give-up mentality defining true champions. Passion alone is never enough, just like talent is never enough. But it's your fire starter. Without passion, you won't do something 100%. The opposite of regret isn't victory. It's knowing you held nothing back when it mattered most.